o'clock hour here at Rosie on the House, where we are covering Snowbird topic. If you've got your Arizona Republic article, or if you're in Green Valley Wednesday, it'll hit the papers. Tomorrow's question and answer in the Tucson Daily Star. But here's a couple. Let me get all my stuff here. We're on remote, and there's a lot of fun things going on here. So I don't even get my paperwork. I actually did some research on snowbirds this week, getting ready for the broadcast. And in 2003, ASU. Yeah, I saw that old.
That old snowbird walking up right there?
Yeah, the salty dog walking around. Pastorino Pool's a Rosie certified partner here in the area. He came on down. He heard free pizza, so he obviously had to put his flip-flops and his shorts on to come get his lunch. We loved giving Tom a hard time because he takes it and gives it so well.
Yeah.
Well, we are broadcasting live at Harper's Nursery. In 2003, Arizona ASU's Center for Business Research estimated there are 300,000 snowbirds that came to Arizona that last season. Now, that was 11 years ago. They've got estimates now, although the research hasn't been done, that could well be over 400,000.
What qualify as a snowbird, too? That probably doesn't even count the people that are only here for a couple of weeks or something, you know.
And it goes into great detail in that article, breaking down RV parks and camps, KOAs around, residents. But when you think about that number, that's larger than Payson, Cottonwood, Prescott, Flagstaff, and Winslow combined.
Well, it'd probably be about the third or fourth largest city in the state.
It would, and that population. So that was the population of the state 100 years ago at the end of World War
I. There you go.
That's a pretty big number. And did you know that there's a when you think about snowbirds, the first thing everyone comes to mind is, you know, obviously the traffic gets worse, this and that. But everyone says, well, it's good for the economy. They bring money. Think about it in reverse, all the money that they're taking from where they left. There's actually, it's a nonprofit in Canada, the Canada Snowbird Association. And according to Wikipedia, it was designed as a lobbying group to fight for people to keep their medical benefits from Canada. Because the Canada said, well, you're not here half the time. We're not going to cover you. So it's an interesting industry, but we'll cover that more a little bit later, because we've got a special guest in the RV booth with us right now, Mr. Paul Holdeman of the Pond Gnome.
Thank you.
And going back about when was the first pond you put in at the Mesa location for Harper's? That pond had to be...
It's about 12 years ago.
12 years ago. Yeah. You're kind of the pioneer in Arizona for...
Well, he'd been building ponds before then, though, for a number of years. So.
Yeah, I've been at it about 15 years now. We got in it just before 2000.
And what have you put in here at the Scottsdale location?
Not here at Scottsdale. We got a pond that's appropriate for a small patio home backyard. It's a little 10 by 10, less than 1,000 gallons. Got a nice little waterfall stream set on it. Keeps goldfish and alive. And right now it's covered in butterflies because, of course, it's butterfly season. So they're out looking for places to do puddling. And there's some blooms that are particularly attractive to the queens and monarchs out there.
And on this, what kind of annual maintenance is this pond going to require?
Less than average lawn. It requires once a week attention for cleaning out the mechanical filtration, and then once a year attention to clean out the biological filtration, and then gardening, which is generally a summertime activity in ponds. It's a matter of thinning plants and keeping plants trimmed, and they're generally growing when it's over 90 degrees out. So the summertime, there's the gardening portion of it to do.
What kind of plants can you grow next to a pond like that? Is it special aqua plants? Could you kind of taper it into a little flower garden?
Oh, absolutely. You know, people grow all kinds of different gardens around them. We get lawns that come right up next to them, or perennial gardens. A lot of people will, as far as in the pond, it's aquatics and marsh plants. But outside of the pond, we can fit a pond into any landscape scheme.
Well, talk about your pondless one. Because you talk about fitting it into anywhere.
Yeah.
That can go literally anywhere.
Anywhere. And in fact, the Pondless Waterfall and Stream product is, we put one in out here at Harper's within the last year.
Last spring.
Maybe 6 months ago or so. And what's really cool about it is people will have these waterfalls on their swimming pools, but in order to run those waterfalls, they have to run their swimming pool pump. We're putting pondless waterfalls on the backside of swimming pools that disappear into the ground right adjacent to the pool, and the pump, you can run it round the clock, and it costs less than $20 a month to operate. So it's way more energy efficient than running a swimming pool pump. And that's made it very popular with people that don't yet have a waterfall but are thinking about adding one to their pool. This is a great option for those people. It's a lot less expensive than remodeling a swimming pool over that type of addition.
And another use for them, we had a lady call earlier about the noisy road, right? Planting a screen hedge. The other thing to distract noise is using white noise, for a better term.
Yep.
Upon my folks moved into after many years of living on big acreage houses out away from noise, moved into a townhouse situation on a fairly busy street, and that was the first thing that they loved everything about it except the noise. It just drove them, they weren't used to that. So we put in a little water feature with a pondless deal for them, just to create a little white noise to help offset. And they have it on a timer, so they run it kind of at the busier times of the day, and it's just enough with some hedges and some screening that it does create a really nice little atmosphere that's distracting from the noise. So that's another that I didn't even think about.
And it doesn't even have to be huge. It's funny because
it's tiny.
Worked underneath one of the stacks in a backyard, and the people were like, I need you to cover up this noise. I said, there's no covering up this noise.
No.
But we can blend it. And so we were able to put in a smaller water feature than what they had originally thought they were going to have to build to get it done. But they've said, okay, yeah, you're right. If we concentrate, we still hear the traffic noise. But that water noise, underlying water noise, actually blends it and makes it more livable and makes it much easier to live with. Yeah.
So there's a lot of things about ponds, water features, that it's just not, you know, it's just not a big puddle of water out there with stuff in it. You know, it's creative, it's beautiful. It's, if you look at this stream here now, it's been in long enough that it looks like you're walking along Christopher Creek. I mean, it's got water plants, that marginal plants that grow on the edge, that grow down into the water, grow up out of the water. It's got just a great variety. The wildlife is incredible for being here in the town. There's, you know, songbirds and all kinds of birds, dragonflies, butterflies, hummingbirds, the doves come and water out of it. So, you know, it's just a tremendous... And it's one of the best babysitters that we have. Kids are just absolutely enthralled and attracted to ponds.
Well, the attractiveness, the draw of clean organic water is undeniable, especially when you're dealing with wildlife.
Now, how do you maintain that? Because you go out, we've had a lot of rain here.
Mm-hmm.
You look anywhere that there's still standing water, it's a... You know, basically looks like a mud puddle.
That's right.
So what are you doing to keep it clean?
It's a combination of things. It's having good circulation and oxygenation of the water so that the water stays healthy and promotes the beneficial microorganisms, which are actually what's helping us keep the water clean. It's building the pond in such a way that you can grow plants in it, so the plants are uptaking nutrient from the water. It's using both mechanical filtration to pull out the heavy solids and biological filtration to convert fish waste and bird waste into plant food. And then again, having an environment that is great for growing plants so the plants can uptake that nutrient. And that keeps the water clean. We really don't have to add anything to it to keep the water clean, which generally surprises people.
It's you're basically creating a little oasis in your backyard. Jay was talking about the birds that come here and eat, and all the dragonflies. You mentioned the butterflies and the babysitting effect.
That's right.
When I looked at it, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is really cool. But, you know, You know, 4 years ago, I was living alone. I'm like, you know, I would never do that. Well, fast forward, and you've got kids, and just how much they're drawn to water and love to play in it. And I'm like, all right, you know, this is going to make sense. But I don't want to do. I didn't want to do a pool, just because of where we live out in Whitman in the flats. I would have a clogged up dirt filter every, you know, every other day with the amount of dust that's created by all the horse riding and the livestock that are around and the blowing. I mean, we don't have a structure from our house all the way to the White Tank Mountains. Right. I mean, it,
no fences or anything out there. Yeah,
would make sense.
We put a water feature in our front yard, which actually scared a couple of our neighbors. We put a stream and a little pond in our front yard, and we've actually had some of our neighbors say, "You know, my kid spends more time playing in your front stream than he spends in the swimming pool we built 5 years ago." We've heard that in a couple of different ways. So there's no doubt that having water that has some frogs and salamanders and the dragonflies and all that going on, that's what's attractive to the kids is, oh, look at all the little living things I can play with. So it's just definitely the draw to kids is undeniable.
Well, and Romy was talking earlier about, you know, the swimmable.
Oh, I was saving that till the next segment.
Oh, okay. So, never mind.
Because I told Paul, like, hold that one off to the second segment.
Gotcha.
Build it up,
never mind.
No, you were busy with the customers when that conversation went on, which y'all have had a nice variety. The pizzas,
they've started cooking hot dogs now. So if you're a hot dog eater, those are ready. Of course, we have cold waters that are free. And you know, you can sign up for a free landscape drawing for a free landscape design. You can get $100 off of a landscape design if you want to set the appointment, but at least register to have somebody call you today. And, of course, $10 off any purchase of $50 or more, and it'll be easy to spend $50 here today. So all kinds of stuff to this time of year, flowers and vegetables and trees and shrubs and ryegrass seed and you name it. It's that time of year. So
live at Harper's Nursery in Scottsdale on Hayden Road, just south of Thomas.